Our reading this morning is Habakkuk 3, verses 1 to 19. It can be found on page 942 of the Church Bibles. Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timan, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. The sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leaders of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head, when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though to devour the wretched who you were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for the gift of your word. We ask that you speak to us. Sovereign God, would you show us more of yourself? Lord, would you grow each of us in our trust and our faith in you? And Lord, would you renew in this day your good deeds, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to see everybody this morning. It's good to be back from our holiday and back in the parish. Really good to see you. And I hope that, like me, you're really enjoying studying the book of Habakkuk and that you are indeed finding that there's a message for today in there and that the Lord is graciously speaking to each of us through his word. And as Jude said, here we are in the final week. We've had 4 weeks on Habakkuk, and we're doing the whole of the last chapter, chapter 3. And so as I begin today, I want to introduce a question. And my question is, how can he do that? Or how can she do that? Well, let's have a bit of fun. Here are some people who, for me, this applies to. It's where I've been asking, how can he do that? Okay? Arthur Ferry came into Wimbledon with a wild card. He had a world ranking of 114. How can he go on centre court, win that first centre court ever match, and then a second time on centre court? How can he get himself to the men's semi-finals of Wimbledon? How can he do that? Wasn't it great? Okay, how about this one? Now, this guy is Sebastian Sawe. He ran the London Marathon this year, and look at that time. He ran a sub-2-hour marathon. That's a pace, everybody, of 13.16 miles per hour. I can tell you, I don't even maintain that average on my bike, let alone on legs. How can he do that? Well, and talking of bikes, give me the intro to this guy. There we go, Gordon. There are a few Tour de France devotees, shall I say, in the house today. This is a guy, Tadej Pogačar, currently riding the Tour de France. And he is incredible. I mean, he is riding alongside other super athletes. But they'll be on a mountainside, and we're talking silly steep gradients. And there'll be a group of which Tadej will be part, and they'll hit, you know, 15, 17, 20%. And he just goes. He just leaves the rest of them. They're behind and he is gone. How can he do that? Well, it's not just a question for sports people, so musicians, the wonderful Yo-Yo Ma. How can he get that music out of that instrument? It was the instrument given to me at primary school. I was a hockey player. I walked home with my cello. I put it down tiredly when I was walking home just about to cross a road before I picked it up again. I got home and the bridge had fallen over. Now, you cannot imagine a child going, "I've ruined the school cello." My dad came home, picked the bridge up, strings were fine. I was like, my dad's my hero. But anyway, Yo-Yo Ma. How can he do that? And I didn't want it all to be men, so I had to think, for me, how can they do that? How can she do this? I chose the lovely Mary Berry. Still baking up a storm and appearing on our TVs with wonderful Christmas programmes, Dame Mary Berry is 91 years old. How can she do that? I wonder about whom you might ask the question, how can he do that, or how can she do that? Well, today, obviously, I'm wanting to ask that very question about Habakkuk. How can he do that? What do I mean? Well, how can Habakkuk go from the woe and despair and angst that came from seeing all that was going on around him in the world that we read about in chapter 1, how can he go from there to a place of praising God and exhibiting immense peace and incredible trust that we see here in chapter 3? Remember back in chapter 1, we see Habakkuk coming to God and asking, why is there this injustice and wickedness and wrong going on in the world? And why, God, are you doing nothing about it, it seemed to Habakkuk. We also saw in chapter 1 that after God replied, well, I am going to do something about it. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, those feared and dreaded people. We then see Habakkuk's second complaint, his further angst. Really? Why would you, God, use those pagan people? How can Habakkuk go from where he was in chapter 1 to where we see him now in chapter 3? Well, before we lean in answering how can he do that, let's briefly look at chapter 3 and the incredibly different place Habakkuk is in. Chapter 3 is Habakkuk praying, and his prayer is set to music. You see in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Sounds to me a little bit Welsh, I thought. Shigionoth, but no, it's a musical term. The prayer is set to music. And actually, it's interesting, both Val at the first service and Claire, it's difficult to know. Do you read out that last bit? Is it part of scripture? Well, it is. At the very end, it says, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk's prayer is sung because he's praising God. Now, I do know that Claire Daniel has a very good voice, so she certainly could have sung the reading to us this morning. Habakkuk is praying and praising. Habakkuk declares the Lord's fame. He asserts that he stands in awe of the deeds of God. And then we see these beautiful verses in 17 and 18. And I'm going to read them a couple of times this morning, because if you take anything from Habakkuk, take these verses. In fact, 3 weeks ago, when I looked at chapter 1, I sneakily asked us to go to the end to look at these. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. I wonder whose Bibles have got it underlined or highlighted. We see here such a clear declaration. What Habakkuk is saying is, no matter what circumstances I find myself in, I can now say, I trust God. I will praise him. And I will know that deep down joy that can only be found in him. He's saying, no matter what's going on in the world around me, or no matter what's going on for me personally, praying, praising, and putting my trust in God are what's going to characterize me. He's able to take his eyes from what's going on to who God is. That's where Habakkuk is. How so different from the harassed and perplexed Habakkuk we saw in chapter 1. Hence my question. How can he do that? How can he move from the angst to the peace? How can he be now in a place of trusting God no matter what is going on? And so answering this gives us an opportunity. If you're here for the first time this morning, you will get a quick overview of the whole of Habakkuk. We'll sweep through the book in answering the question, how can he do that, while still focusing on chapter 3. So how did he do it? What journey did he go on? Well, firstly, of course, we saw him talking to God. But importantly, he did so honestly. What we see in chapter 1 is no polite religious prayer. It's a heartfelt cry to the Lord. Habakkuk is authentic. He brings his true self and his big why and his confusion and his even anger towards God. He talks to God. And then, secondly, he takes time to listen. He listens to God and he hears God speak. In chapter 2, that verse 20, it says, "Let all the earth be silent before him." Striking reminder, not that I confess I do some mornings, talk to God, tell him about my day, tell him what I want him to do, and then I'm off into it. But actually listening for his reply. Not talking to God and waiting briefly and going, okay, he just wants me to do it. No. Let all the earth be silent before him. Habakkuk takes time to hear God speak. But actually, the big answer to how can he do that, of going from there to there, which comes through the talking and listening, is that he sees that God is sovereign. He comes to see and deeply know. There's a lovely phrase in St. Mary's that people use. He knows in his knower now. He knows in his knower that God is sovereign, that God has control of all things, that everything is in God's hands. He's got it. I've got a little mini can of Coke at home. I've had it years now. I have drank the Coke. And it was an exercise we did with some young people, and there's a piece of paper around it, and it just says, God can. And then underneath it says, you can't. And then it's got some verses from Scripture. It's the God can, the sovereignty. Back in chapter 1, We read of the Babylonians, the people God was going to rise up to correct Israel, that they were guilty men whose own strength is their God. It's interesting, if you think about it, what the Babylonians would be thinking as they triumphed was, we did it. We did it in our strength. But how wrong they were. The whole thing was under God's hand. He's in control. And how wonderful that there's that, the same verse as let the earth be silent before him has before that the brilliant words, God is in his holy temple. This is both truth and hope. God reigns on high. He's sovereign. If he's got it, that makes such a difference to our day-to-day life. And this is what Habakkuk came to understand. He also came to know two things within that. He knew that his sovereign God will act, and he'll do so in good timing. Habakkuk's first complaint and the Lord's reply we get from the Lord, for I am going to do something in your day. I am going to do something. The Lord will act. And after his second complaint, the Lord says the revelation will certainly come. Habakkuk was told plainly and believed, God is the living God who acts. He's at work in the world. And then the bits about his wonderful timing. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. I had a listen to my friend Nigel, who covered last week's sermon, and I loved his phrase about God's timing. God is never late. God's never late. So if we look at the transformation and difference of Habakkuk of chapter 1 and where we see him now praying and praising in chapter 3, and we ask the question, how can he do that? How can he do that? Well, it's because through talking to God and listening to him, Habakkuk came to have a bigger picture of who God is. And isn't that our prayer, that we know God more? This widened picture of who he is. And the picture that Habakkuk got is that God is sovereign, that he acts, and his timing is perfect. And knowing all of that, Habakkuk steps into a new place. A place of trust, a trust in God that is deeper than where he was before. Again, isn't that our prayer, that we might grow in faith, grow as disciples of Jesus? And it is because of that deep trust in God that he could say these words. I wonder if they're beginning to sink into all of us now. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fail, fields produce no food, no sheep in the sheepfold, no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. There is so much in Scripture, look in the Psalms, that trust goes to rejoicing. When we're in a place of trusting God, we can rejoice. What Habakkuk shows us is, as we keep saying over and over and over today, no matter what the circumstances, despite what goes on for him and around him, he trusts God and worships him. The short book of Habakkuk, a very fine book, shows us Habakkuk's journey. It gives us a new, truer view of God, a fuller picture, and that changes day-to-day life. So having asked, how can he do this? We ask, how can I do this? Each of us, how can we live faithful lives following Jesus, knowing the difference he makes day to day? And obviously the answer is the same as for Habakkuk. Lifting our eyes from the circumstances to God and having that bigger view of God, who is sovereign, who will act, and whose timing is perfect. Grasping this more leads to that deeper trust. And that's what changes things when things arise for each of us. It's a simple, deep message. But I say something else simple This is not easy. Trust God. Very easy two words to say, but challenging to live by. Because something else will come at us some point. Can we stay firmly rooted in knowing God is sovereign, he's got it? Life's tough, and I look out and I know there are things that go on for people, and there are things that I don't know that people are going through. For each of us, there will be though my family are struggling, though I'm concerned about my health, though I'm worried about my finances, my work, my relationship, even though I'm waiting for a diagnosis and I fear the worst. Whatever your though is, Scripture, Habakkuk, the Lord's love and graciousness wants to lead us to a yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. I invite you after today to read again through the whole of Habakkuk, but to look at these verses 17 and 18. To come honestly before God and think what your though is. And I'm going to ask him to help me come to a yet. Yet I will rejoice in you, Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Habakkuk's journey is one from questioning to trusting to rejoicing. We may be at different parts of that sort of journey. Questioning, learning to trust, trusting, but are we rejoicing? Wherever we are, the Lord is with us on the journey and he takes us forward. But it is not easy. So it's good to go away and reflect, but it's also good for us to encourage one another. I've found over my Christian life, when there are people who say, though this is happening, yet I'm trusting and I'm rejoicing, they have blessed me hugely and encouraged me and challenged me. So as I come into close, having heard quite a lot of words, I want to close with an image. Well, the book of Habakkuk closes with an image. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Okay, I'm going to play now Spot the Deer. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. The Hebrew words used here show that these verses refer to a deer or an ibex, possibly even goats. And they're found in the region of Engedi. And they do exactly this. You can see in the image. They hug the hillside. And they do so by travelling along little ledges that are 5 or 6 inches wide. And these ledges, like, they jut out on the side of steep hills. And these deer, they go from the mountaintop to the valley, and they go from the valley to the mountaintop. And what they do, apparently, is a bit like a little lamb gamboling. They skip along. Oh, little ledges. As I prepared this week, I heard a pastor talk who regularly takes groups of people to the Holy Land. And he says he makes sure he points out these deer. And he can guarantee that every trip, when he goes, look at that deer on there, someone goes, oh! And that there'll be at least one person who says, he's going to fall. He's going to come to his deer death. But of course they don't. They go along the ledges. They're skipping along. Habakkuk is saying here that God is going to make my feet like the feet of the deer. God is going to help me like the ibex. Habakkuk is saying God is going to make sure I have a sure footing. How great to have a sure footing in life. Even when the path is rocky and narrow, when life is difficult. And it's a really good picture because, brothers and sisters, sometimes we will be on the mountaintop, but we will be taken to the valley. And sometimes we're in the valley and we're traveling towards the mountaintop. But wherever we are, God is with us along the way. And he can be our strength to help us keep our footing secure, such that when those things come, the difficult things of life, we, like Habakkuk, can say, "The Lord is my strength." And we can say, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour." And actually, that God will lead me on to the heights, to new places. If you feel you're somewhere now that feels like a rut, there's a wonderful devotional book written in the 50s, Hinds Feet on High Places. And it's still in print because it's an encouragement to trust the Lord and let him lead us and let him be with us in everything. Amen.